Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
John Hansen in for Dean Richards till 1 o'clock this afternoon. Happy Sunday. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. We got a couple threads going on. We were talking about wearing shorts all year round. The 773 says, I wear cargo shorts 365 days a year. My only limit is below zero. I've been known to be called PAAO. Pants are always optional. Okay, and then we were also asking people where they want to go. They haven't been yet. 847 says Alcatraz. I've been there. I went on a night tour. It was really cool stuff. All right, let's pivot over to Dr. Kevin Most. He's the chief medical officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, thanks for hopping on with us here today.
John, good morning. How are you doing?
It's always great to chat with you. You can either offer the place you still want to go in the world that you haven't been, or you can comment on someone wearing shorts 365 days a year as a medical professional. Your choice, doctor.
Well, you know, the shorts 365, that individual needs to see a psychiatrist or a dermatologist for their frostbite. That's kind of ridiculous at sometimes here in Chicago.
I know. We see it, though, right? I get it. If you're just, like, running into the grocery store. Maybe you were at the gym, right, and you're like, whatever, it's 2 seconds, and I'm more stubborn. But I know people that are just like, I'm not wearing pants. Anyways, there's no great transition from that, Dr. Most. Let's talk about last week you were talking with Dean about the correspondence dinner, and boy, everyone in there was vaccinated, a proof of a negative test. I think they were all boosted too. But of course, we've got COVID. I don't want to call it an outbreak, but certainly some cases stemming from there, which I imagine nowadays is, even as you do all the right things, right, it's still a contagious virus.
It is, John, and it was so funny. I don't know if you were listening last week, but Dean and I talked about, hey, this is the right way that they did it. Look how they did this. They tested everybody. And here, you know, a week later, we're talking about, you know, 25 cases coming out of that dinner. So, like you said, we still have to understand that this is still very contagious and can be contagious even when you test negative. And we know that you can still get this illness even though you're fully vaccinated and boosted. Chance of you getting hospitalized or having a severe illness is very low, but you can still get this.
I've just anecdotally, a couple of my friends that, you know, never had it have popped up with cases, and they've been okay. They've maybe had those minor symptoms, and, you know, that's anecdotal, but I think the numbers are starting to bear it out a little bit. This BA2 is going around.
It really is, you know, and last week when we talked, downtown was still in a low risk. Now they've been moved up to medium. So not only Kane, DuPage, Lake County, suburban Cook, but also downtown, is now the transmission rate has been moved up to medium. So we know that this is spreading more. We're starting to see a slight increase in hospitalizations. I know the DuPage County Health Department is on top of this and looking at it. A little concerning, nowhere near the numbers that we have seen in the past, but we are seeing an increase in hospitalizations.
Do you think hospitalizations will be the metric used for the determinations if there needs to be, I don't even want to say it again, putting on masks again, stuff like that? I mean, it's going to be data-based, and it's going to be, I assume, the hospital number, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. That's going to be our barometer going forward for many reasons. One is the at-home testing. We really won't have a good accurate number of who's testing positive, but certainly we need to look at what stress is being put on at the hospital. And I can tell you, one of the things we look at is not only hospitalizations, but how much of our staff has now tested positive and needs to be off work for a week. That is one of the things that people don't understand. Stresses the healthcare systems almost as much as, inpatient admissions.
Yeah. I mean, I know the weather is warming up. Hopefully that can combat things a little bit. I know it's not the silver bullet, but certainly warmer weather helps.
Oh, 100%. You know, we celebrated Mother's Day yesterday with my mom, and we were outside in the backyard. And you know what, John, shame on us for two things. One, not saying Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
True.
And probably more importantly, this is the start of Nurses Week. So thank you to all the nurses out there. And I guess a double thank you to any of the nurses who are working today on Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. And there's plenty of them. They don't get those days off. 608 says, greetings, Dr. Most. Many thanks. I'm 69 years old. I'd like to get the fourth shot. After my Moderna booster, I had a severe headache. I actually went to the ER. Is it advisable to take Tylenol or Advil after the shot, or that maybe it can dampen the impact or the pain you might get from the vaccine?
No, 100%. Take Tylenol. You can take Advil. you know, anything to treat those symptoms. You have to remember that those symptoms are your body's reaction to the vaccine. So it's good that people get the reaction, but certainly you want to temper that down as much as possible. So absolutely, go ahead and take Tylenol, take Motrin, push fluids and rest. But certainly everyone should know that those side effects, although they might be a little uncomfortable, only going to last 24 to 48 hours, but still are going to give you great protection.
A lot of questions coming in. The 630, does the doctor know the likelihood of having long COVID symptoms if you're vaccinated and boosted? I guess what they're asking is do you have to have a severe illness to get any long-term COVID symptoms? I know you have some stats about what we're seeing with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, when we look at long COVID, certainly we're looking at individuals who have been hospitalized. And, you know, those, now that data really is starting to come out as we start to have more and more data on a longer and longer period. But we look at, you know, 75% of people who have been hospitalized for COVID 6 months later still are having some symptoms. So the individual, the question that they asked is, can you get long COVID from an ambulatory illness? You certainly can. Is it decreased if you've been vaccinated? 100%. So if you want to minimize your chances of long COVID, one, stay as healthy as you can, and two, make sure you're vaccinated. But unfortunately, we're really starting to see this data come out that individuals who are hospitalized are going to have symptoms for quite some time.
217 wants to know, thank you so much, first of all, for answering the COVID questions. They're 68. They're vaxxed. They're boosted. They got COVID last Tuesday. They're taking Paxlovid. They're feeling better. When is that second booster going to be an option for them since they have COVID right now?
Yeah, so really the second booster for them is going to be in a couple of weeks once their symptoms are gone. The other thing that they need to understand, too, is the medication they're taking, Paxlovid, which is from Pfizer, is a great medication. But understand that we have seen some what we call rebound cases. So they'll feel great after to take the medication, and then maybe a week later they may get symptoms again. Something that we know is out there. We're trying to figure out why and whether we need to treat longer. That doesn't appear to be the reason. But if you're looking for, okay, I have it, now when can I get vaccinated? I would go 3-4 weeks. The beauty of what's gone on with you right now, as long as they're mild symptoms, is now you have natural immunity as well, coupled with your vaccination. So you are in a really good place.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hey, Janice, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you. Yes, I was just wondering, my husband and I recently got affected with COVID, and we both were vaccinated, boosted, and he didn't get much of an issue with it. His was like a bad cold.
Mm-hmm.
Mine came on, I felt like I got hit by a truck.
Oh.
Just fever, chills, body aches, everything, you name it, and I'm still suffering with it. I mean, it's been over a week, and I still test positive. I am on the Paxlovid, and I went on a low-dose steroid. I just was listening to what you were saying about the Paxlovid and possibly, you know, because I'm going off it after today. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm just wondering when I am going to be able to not test positive anymore and
right.
Feel better.
I had a friend, same thing, tested positive for days and days and days, and then finally it went away. Dr. Most, any insight?
Yeah, Janice, unfortunately, you can test positive. Certainly, once your symptoms are gone, you would no longer be contagious. We're not worried about that. So if your coughing is gone and that, don't worry about it. But people can test positive for weeks, unfortunately, afterwards. Probably the biggest thing for you is you're doing all the right things. You're taking the Paxlovid. Low-dose mm-hmm. Steroids have been used to help some of that inflammation. Certainly, mm-hmm. Advil, Tylenol, and lots of fluids and rest. And I hope that your husband's making you a nice dinner because one,
yeah.
He got off easy, and two, it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, Janice.
Yeah, I'm isolating on Mother's Day. That's not much fun, but at least it's nice out.
He should still make you a nice dinner, though, okay? Open the windows so you can deliver.
Will.
Okay, there you go. Thanks, Janice.
He
appreciate
will.
The phone call, okay?
Thank you.
Dr. Most is going to put you on hold. We've got a couple more questions coming up. I also do want to talk about TIAs and strokes a little bit before we wrap things up with Dr. Most. Coming up next on WGN, Dr. Kevin Most continuing our conversation. And Dr. Most, I do want to get to TIAs and strokes before we leave, but we have one other question I want to take. We're getting a lot on the text line. Let's go to Dan. Hey, Dan, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Dr. Most, here's my question. For my first two vaccinations and for my first booster, I got Pfizer. I'm getting ready to sign up and register to get my second booster. And my question is, should I get Moderna or should I get Pfizer? I'm hearing both sides on the issue that you should switch up and get Moderna or you should stay with Pfizer. And I just also want to add that I'm a senior citizen with two underlying medical conditions. And I'm wondering what you advise.
Go ahead, Dr. Most.
Yeah, so Dan, two things. One, if you've done well with your Pfizer and you have had minimal side effects, I'd say go ahead and get Pfizer. If you still have done well, but you really want to make sure you're covered, I am in the camp of the mixing so that you make sure that you have one of each of them. It gives you a broader base coverage, and that's my thought. Now, some people are going to say continue to match. I am in the camp of mix. I have mixed. Someone who has underlying health, I want to make sure that I have a better, broader coverage. So if I can gain 1-2 percentage points, I'm going to take that by mixing.
Okay, so you really can't go wrong.
Moderna.
Yeah, okay.
You can't go wrong with either one, but if you want to get a point and a half higher, then I would say go to Moderna.
Okay, and I know there's disagreement on that. Everyone has a different opinion. It's always annoying when doctors disagree on things, but it's in the grand scheme, you all agree on the main point. It's just a little nugget here.
Nuance, yep.
All right, thanks, Dan. We appreciate the phone call.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for the help. Bye now.
Yeah, of course. All right, Dr. Most, I got to talk about this because in March, my family had quite a scare. My father, who still works as a fire chief, was chatting with paramedics, and one of the paramedics came up to him and said, "Hey, chief, you're having a stroke." And he was rushed to a hospital, and all is well. He had about the luckiest situation that you can, and we are so blessed that incredible healthcare workers were able to get the clot breaker into him and no further surgery was needed, and he was at home 48 hours later. And Dr. Most, I only share that because I know that we were a lucky family in the right circumstances. Not everyone's the case. It works out that way, but time is everything.
It really is. And thank your dad for his service. And fortunately, he had a professional looking at him, seeing this as it happened.
Yes.
So one of the things we look at for strokes is, when was the last time you were felt to be normal? So they knew his window was very small, and the opportunity to get in and give that clot-busting drug TPA gets rid of that clot, gets the blood flow back, and boy, we have a great outcome. So people really need to understand, if you have signs of a stroke and know what to look for, the sooner, the quicker you get in is most important. Don't put grandma to bed saying, "Oh, let's see if that weakness or that slurred speech is better tomorrow." No, get them in the hospital right away.
Now, TIAs. I know we heard this with Haley Bieber, 25 years old, wife of Justin Bieber, had a TIA. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, exactly. So TIAs are what people would think of as called mini strokes. And what happens for most TIAs is a very small clot goes up to the brain, and the body has a way to kind of make sure that the blood still gets to that portion of the brain. So the symptoms only last for anywhere from an hour to 24 hours. So in other words, you think you're having a stroke, you go in, and by the time you get to the hospital, the symptoms have resolved. That's a TIA, or they resolve after a short period of time with minimal intervention. That being said, people who have had TIAs have to understand that the chance of them having a stroke goes up dramatically. So this is kind of like a forewarning. And making sure you get in to see your doctor to talk about whether it's blood clotting drugs like aspirin or Lovenox or, you know, one of those. So certainly something that you should discuss with your doctor, because people who have had a TIA, again, a mini stroke that goes away in a short period of time, the chance of them getting a stroke definitely increases within the next 6 months.
I will have my dad on a future show to talk about his experience. And one of the things he will share is he did have TIAs, and is, even though he's in this profession, men can be anyone can be stubborn, but especially men can be stubborn, and it wasn't looked into as properly as it was. My dad is lucky with what happened. If you have a TIA, talk to someone, go to the hospital, get that taken care of, and talk to your doctor, yeah?
Absolutely, 100%. And you know what, in him, in the role that he is, where he is often, he and his paramedics are going to homes and seeing those initial instances, they're the ones actually that are the front line, and we thank them because they take everything seriously. And even if someone says, "Oh, no, it's just a little slurred speech," they're saying, "I'm sorry, you come to the hospital, we've seen enough of these." So
yep.
Can't thank our paramedics and firefighters for that frontline work to get these individuals in, even if they are stubborn males.
For sure. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
John, you take care. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, take care.